John, if CAFTA is holding on by one vote, if that could sway it, what good is that if they sneak in the back door with Codex and some kind of international agreement?
It's another part of the squeeze play. In other words, when if CAFTA passes, then it strengthens the ideas expressed in the Codex guidelines. It becomes yet another treaty that pressurizes the United States internally to voluntarily harmonize its own domestic laws about sales of supplements with international guidelines. That's kind of fancy language for saying, you've got the FDA. They're very anxious to do this. And so they would now point to CAFTA and they would say, you see, well, this is just one more reason. Obviously, we have to get the Congress to act here because all these other nations are changing, and we're the only cowboy country left that thinks that people should have access to all kinds of different supplements. So there is this idea of pressure to create voluntary changes in domestic laws. CAFTA will do that as a treaty. The United States is bound to it, and the idea is they, if it passes and they get the votes in the House, then the United States has yet one more link in the chain that binds them to the idea of knocking out the Deschet Law and freedom of choice and replacing it with something much more draconian.
You know, what I can't understand too, Robin, is how the FDA, for example, could then want to jump up and down to scrutinize vitamins and supplements when I don't think they're doing a very good job on some of these pharmaceuticals that are out there.
No, they definitely aren't, and the recent reporting on Vioxx and NSAIDs has certainly underlined that fact. And the other problem with pharmaceuticals, prescription medications, is that the side effects are underreported. You know, so what are they going to do if the reports don't come in? You have the average patient that thinks they don't want to bother their doctor or it's no big deal. Part of what I do when I work with a patient is educate them as to what they can expect and what they have to be prepared for and what's important and what has to be reported. And there are many pharmaceutical medications that are being taken by patients that I work with who are also under the care of medical doctors. And when they are taken in combination with nutritional supplements, so many of those side effects are mediated. You don't see them having these problems. But I'd like to address what Terry had mentioned before and add on about ephedra. In traditional Chinese medicine, ephedra has been used for over 2,000 years. And the beauty of Chinese medicine, Chinese herbal medicine, is that ephedra would never be used as an individual herb. It's used in combination with other herbs that sort of modify the effects of it, make it more bioavailable, make it a softer, easier on the body formula so that it is not harsh. For something like ephedra to be used in dietary preparations for someone wanting to lose weight, that's craziness.
All right. Terry, the ability for high potency nutrients would be gone, according to what I'm reading, if Codex kicks in. Is that true?
Not exactly. Codex has kicked in. I mean, it has passed. It's become a law.
Oh, I mean here, though, if we see an effect of it.
For Codex to be adopted in the United States would actually require the repeal of Deschet and an act of Congress. So assuming that those things happen, yeah, then these regulations and high-potency supplements would no longer be available. But this would require an act of Congress to do that.
But why would they want to do away with high-potency nutrients, though?
Well,
and give us lower doses because we'd have to buy more?
Well, I don't think we'd really be able to accomplish what we want to do, and I don't think that's really what their objective is. I think the real objective is the American people have really woken up to the fact that they can empower themselves. They have the ability to treat a lot of maladies.
Sure.
That they've been seeing physicians for and being treated. You know, there's really a revolution. And my eyes were opened about 10 or 12 years ago when I made the transition from the allopathic medicine that I learned in medical school, and I started using nutritional medicine. And what I did is I started to learn more and more as I began to treat patients with high blood pressure with nutrients as opposed to prescription drugs, and patients with heart disease with nutrients or cholesterol or whatever. And as I made this transition, I would ask the patients who I'd been taking care of before, would you like to continue with the prescription drugs, or would you like to try taking some supplements and vitamins and see if these can help you? And my eyes were open to the fact that almost 90% of my patients said, I'd like to try the nutritional post. So patients really embrace this, and they particularly embrace it when they can do that themselves. And I think there is a jousting here, a power struggle, a turf battle, as it were, between the vested interests that would like to continue to sell medications and people who are waking up and taking the power into their own hands and beginning to treat themselves and their own families. But in order to do that, they need high potency quantities. The amounts of niacin, for instance, that are useful in treating schizophrenia, as alluded to by John earlier, are in the thousands of milligrams. And if you have a codex law that restricts you to buying pills that are only 5 milligrams, you would have to take, 600 pills a day.
Yeah.
It'll be completely impossible.
And nobody's going to do that.
No one can afford you. Your stomach could be filled up with the fillers from the pills.
Yeah.
So they just, take the power away from that, completely emasculated.
Now, as this moves forward, then, what can we, and I'm going to ask each one of you, as Americans do to try to fight this? You first, John Rappaport. What can we do?
Okay. First, George, I just want to read verbatim from Article 3 of CAFTA, which is now very few votes away from passing.
And that's the Central American Free Trade Agreement.
Right. Article 3, to harmonize sanitary and phytosanitary measures on as wide a basis as possible. Members shall base their food safety measures on international standards, guidelines, or recommendations. Well, that's Codex. So, the wording is very clear. The United States is about to sign on to this. It's true that the law would have to be changed in the United States, but, this gives a lot more oomph and punch to the idea of doing exactly that. That is not necessarily, something that we can say, oh, that would be 20 years away. That could be right around the corner. So let me blend into what we can do. There are two short-term things. Long-term is a whole other story, but short-term, we need millions of people to start flooding congressional offices, Senate, House, with letters, with faxes, with phone calls saying, we want DSHEA, that's D-S-H-E-A, that's the 1994 law that's in effect now.
That's the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act.
That's right. We want that to remain as it was originally written and intended with no changes whatsoever. That is our position. We vote. We vote people into office. We vote people out of office. This is what we want.